5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, Erin here. If you're listening to this, you hopefully love Hysteria the podcast, but you might not know we also post regularly to our YouTube channel with full episodes of the show and original video series. You can watch us podcast with our faces. And today I'm excited to share with you a brand new episode from our hit YouTube series, This Fucking Guy. Each episode, Alyssa and I pick one of America's worst people, catch you up to speed on the messes they've made, and dig into their horrible pasts to expose what losers and clowns they are. Think of it as half history lesson, half roast, with a hearty sprinkling of why are you like this on top. And this episode centers around one of our nation's most unhinged, attention-seeking, transphobic pick-me's, South Carolina Congresswoman, gubernatorial candidate, and cartoonishly large cross-wearer, Nancy Mace. From her performative pajama wearing to her vote for the Big Beautiful Bill to the histrionic cries of victimhood when she's called out on her hypocrisy around her undying support for a president who is a known sex pest, we're taking you on a journey deep into the eye of Hurricane Nancy. Come in here, guys. The water's terrible. We're doing this series because, you know, it's important to pause and remember that the most evil, worst people, most irritating people in government are at their core just fucking guys. Knowledge is power and everybody loves a good read. So here we go. Let's hang out and learn about Nancy Mace. Welcome to This Fucking Guy, the show where we spotlight one fucking guy making America worse and explain why they suck. I'm Erin Ryan, host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco, the other host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast.
This episode's subject isn't exactly changing the world, but she is certainly doing her best to get attention and is no problem ruining a life or three in order to get it.
And while we don't like to reward pathological attention seekers, the abject goofiness of this person combined with her delusionally high political aspirations and atomic messiness calls for it.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Another fucking guy who is a woman. Republican South Carolina Congresswoman and aspiring Palmetto State Governor Nancy Mace. Alyssa, I'm going to put this out there. Nancy Mace is the most chaotic member of Congress.
Really?
Yeah, more chaotic than 36-year-old Grandma Lauren Boebert's Beetlejuice the Musical matinee hand job.
More chaotic than Jim Jordan, the alleged sex abuse ignorer who legitimately seems like his brain doesn't work?
Today's subject is the most chaotic. Nancy Mace is so chaotic that even President Trump, a messy bitch who loves drama, clearly thinks she's too much.
Can't wait to learn way more about her than I ever wanted to know.
Nancy Mace was born on December 4th, 1977, which makes her a Sagittarius, which makes complete sense. Her dad is Army Brigadier General James Emery Mace, and her mother was a teacher. Daddy Mace, in military terms, is a big fucking deal at the Citadel and was the commandant of cadets between 1997 and 2005. Nancy Mace attended the cadet program and became the first woman to graduate in 1999.
I mean, that's kind of like being the first female animator at Disney Studios, and it turns out your dad's Walt Disney.
Yeah, Mace is not the first woman to graduate from the Citadel. According to the website of the Citadel, that distinction belongs to Maxine Hudson, who graduated from a teaching certificate program along with six other women in 1970 and passed away in 2022.
Nancy Mace probably knows that she's not technically the first woman to graduate from the Citadel. She's the first woman to graduate from the cadet program, which is what the school is mostly known for.
However, that hasn't stopped her from making being the first woman to graduate from the Citadel half of her personality. Her official government website claims this.
She also repeated it on X.com, which earned it a community note.
Maxine Hudson, if you can hear me from the great beyond, haunt this woman. Nancy Mace did not join the military after graduating from the military school her dad helped run. As the ink was still drying on that diploma, she wrote a book with a co-author, and then went on a book tour to promote said book.
I wasn't able to find any sales data for the book, except for the fact that it wasn't a bestseller. That might be because it was published 3 weeks after the 9/11 terror attacks. Or maybe despite that fact, right after 9/11, America got super weird.
In 1999, months after graduating, Mace married one of her fellow Citadel cadets. The marriage lasted a little over 2 years before they were donezo. 2 years later, she married Curtis Jackson, which is confusingly also the legal name of rapper 50 Cent. But Nancy Mace did not, in fact, marry rapper 50 Cent. Just want to make that clear.
She loves to threaten to sue people, so we have to make that clear. Nancy Mace and rapper 50 Cent were never married.
Mace went to graduate school for journalism and mass communications, started a communications company, and co-founded a South Carolina news website called Fitz News. She and Jackson had two kids born in 2006 and 2009. More on that in a bit.
So we mentioned that half of Mace's personality is her Selena Meyer ass harping on being the first woman to do something. The other half of her personality is desperate histrionics.
Which, by the way, even though Nancy Mace isn't the first woman to be declared this fucking guy, she will be the first ever recipient of our Congratulations, Nancy, You Got Attention Award.
Put it in the bio.
Nancy Mace is a chaos muppet. She's one of those shoot-for-the-moon chaos muppets, like the type of person who would hit on Glenn Powell when he was out on a date with another woman. Like 90 to 95% of the time, it doesn't pay off, but when it does...
That explains why, when she first threw her hat in the political ring in 2014, she didn't aim low. She tried to run for Senate. She tried to run for Senate against Lindsey fucking Graham, who at the time was running for his seat for a third time.
Chutzpah. Mace placed fifth of seven candidates in the Republican primary, getting a whopping 6% of the vote. But the experience did whet her appetite to keep trying, and try she did. In 2017, she ran in a special election to a less ambitious seat, South Carolina House District 99, after the politician who had held the seat for the previous 22 years was forced to resign after he was indicted on 30 counts of ethics violations.
Setting the bar as low as possible for her, South Carolina politics are bananas. Shortly before the election, video surfaced of Mace playing a drinking game while on the campaign trail as a Trump volunteer in 2016. The game required participants to take a shot and spit it into another person's mouth. Her Democratic opponent characterized the video as a symptom of Mace's immaturity. It didn't matter. In an extremely low turnout special election held on some random day in January, Mace won her first political office.
Nancy's time in the South Carolina House was pretty normal. She had some pretty reasonable opinions on bare minimum the bar is in hell things, like not shackling incarcerated women when they give birth. Women are people, mothers matter, etc. In 2019, on the floor of the South Carolina House, she announced publicly that she'd been molested at 14 and raped at 16 years old. And because of her experience as a rape survivor, she believed that a ban on abortion matriculating through the state legislature should contain exceptions for rape and incest. Again, like, the bar is in hell, but a lot of Republicans still don't clear it.
This was the most high-profile moment in Nancy's career since graduation. Maybe that's when she first got a taste of going viral and has been chasing the dragon ever since. We can only speculate.
In 2019, the year before her first congressional run, Mace and her second husband divorced, and Mace took her ex to court to attempt to gain full custody of her two kids. According to the website The List, Nancy claimed during the custody battle that her ex-husband was a problem drinker and a bad parent. The judge didn't buy it and gave the two joint custody.
Not to over-explain the point, but joint custody means that both parents work together to raise their children separately.
Yes, and most parents with joint custody probably wouldn't appreciate it if their partner they split custody with claimed to be a single parent in a series of news releases.
But that's exactly what Nancy did not long after she was sworn into Congress in 2021. In March, Mace announced her intention to form the Single Parents Caucus. Speaking to a South Carolina outlet at the time, she said, quote, "It was tough enough being a single parent before the pandemic," she added. "I feel the pain. I know the struggle."
A few conservative commentators, including one of the people she co-founded Fitz News with, were rubbed the wrong way by this little fib, calling it unseemly. One right-wing columnist charged Mace with painting herself as a single mother for, quote, "self-aggrandizement and drama."
But the dissolution of her second marriage has a happy-ish ending. By December 2024, Curtis had, I guess, forgiven Nancy for trying to destroy his reputation in pursuit of full custody of their children and pretending very publicly that he was not contributing to raising them. She posted this photo to Instagram and Twitter with a caption claiming that her ex and kids had taken her out for a barbecue for her birthday.
Which prompted one of the most incredible social media comments of all time. "That's a lot of beans, you nasty-ass bitch."
Which sounds harsh, but by December 2024, Nancy's short but incredibly noisy career earned her a reputation in certain circles as a nasty-ass bitch.
Let's rewind. Mace was sworn in on January 3rd, 2021, which was 3 days before the January 6th insurrection, which, in addition to being a sad day in American history, was a great opportunity for Nancy to get a lot of attention.
According to one staffer who spoke with the Washington Post, Nancy's original idea for getting attention on January 6th was to get out amongst the riot and get punched in the face. But she abandoned that plan in favor of method acting, Daniel Day-Lewis style, the role of angry January 6th survivor. As one of the few Republicans willing to call out Trump over the riot, Mace was all over the news in the days after, saying that any accomplishments that the outgoing president had achieved during his first term were, quote, wiped out by the assault on the Capitol. She commented that Trump should never hold office again, that Republicans should start over, find a new voice, and hold Trump accountable.
But once that stopped getting her booked on TV and it was clear she could get more attention by taking on Democrats than by taking on Donald Trump, she swung wildly in the other direction by claiming that New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was a liar. AOC had claimed in the days after the attack that while she was hiding in a bathroom amid the riot, she heard banging on the door and somebody yelling, "Where is she?" She thought originally that the banging came from rioters, but found out later that it was actually the Capitol Police. Mace inserted herself into the discourse, tweeting, "I'm two doors down from AOC and no insurrectionists stormed our hallway." So AOC had never claimed that insurrectionists had stormed their hallway.
AOC clocked Nancy right away, tweeting, "You're contradicting your own account to attack me for Fox News clicks. It's honestly pretty sad to see you turn around like this and throw other people under the bus. Thought you'd be better."
Then Nancy ran crying to Fox News, where they're so allergic to fact-checking that all anchors carry EpiPens on them at all times.
"And all I did was state the facts. I live in reality. I deal with facts and not fiction. And I said that there were no rioters in the hallways of Cannon. I'm two doors down from you." And she lost it today. She doesn't deal in reality. She hasn't been doing that today. I think it's really important that we take members to task when they're not being honest with the American people. This division is hurting our country.
Fox News made a meal out of this, comparing AOC to Jussie Smollett, even giving the false narrative that AOC had lied its own hashtag. This must have been intoxicating to Mace, whose viral dick riding would only intensify with time. Congratulations, Nancy. You got attention.
This was only the beginning of Mace pissing everyone off. Mace went on to vote against Trump's second impeachment, which pissed off people who hoped she actually meant what she'd said about January 6th being bad. But then she voted in favor of holding Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress for ignoring a subpoena, which pissed off people who thought she was all in for sticking it to the Democrats. That's some five-dimensional political chess right there.
Keep him guessing. In a way that makes you seem untrustworthy, too unstable. That's the Nancy Mace way. Meanwhile, Nancy Mace's staff was leaking embarrassing stories about her poor leadership and bizarre behavior like a sieve. Like how she distributed a ridiculous staff handbook that staff says she'd obviously written herself. The handbook called for her to be made into a national Nancy figure, which for some reason never caught on with the population at large. I wonder why. Her office was a revolving door. Everybody left with a bad taste in their mouths. And between November 1st, 2023 and February 5th, 2024, her entire staff turned over.
Mace has dismissed all of these reports as conspiracies and fake news, implying both publicly and privately that former staff are only saying these things because they're plotting against her. Here's a leadership tip. When you're the one constantly at the center of drama, the common denominator is you. You are the drama.
While she had a bad reputation among former staffers and the people who cared about the former staffers' mental health, a lot of people in the media fell for the "I'm not like the other Republicans, I'm a cool Republican" act Nancy Mace was putting on at the time. She made appearances on Real Time with Bill Maher, The Daily Show when Charlamagne was guest hosting, which has aged like a potato salad left in the sun, ABC's This Week, PBS NewsHour, and Meet the Press. But beneath the photogenic surface and semi-normal ability to banter, the whole time she was getting more and more comfortable letting her freak flag fly.
No better way to see that in action than with her demented crusade against trans people.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So early in her political career, Mace was like a lot of self-styled rational Republicans, trying to have her cake and eat it too when it came to the rights and personhood of LGBTQ people. She voted for gay marriage twice as a member of the South Carolina House of Representatives. And as recently as 2023, she was claiming to be pro-trans, although she said that she didn't think gender-affirming care should be available to trans youth.
"Well, I'm pro-transgender rights. I'm pro-LGBTQ.
Again, the bar for Republicans is in hell, but she was at least acting like she was going to clear it. However, by late 2024, Mace had, surprise, surprise, gone full J.K. Rowling on trans issues, fixating on bathrooms to a degree that we at This Fucking Guy would characterize as psychotic.
Wait, hang on. That's not really fair to compare her to J.K. Rowling.
Why?
Because J.K. Rowling actually writes her own books.
Bum, bum.
Like a lot of Republicans with no policy ideas, Nancy burrows into every culture war like a termite queen. Over one 72-hour period in November 2024, Representative Mace tweeted about bathrooms 326
Stop.
Times.
No.
Oh, my God. Lady, she also introduced a resolution that would ban trans members of Congress and staffers from using bathrooms that match their gender identity.
This was all targeted at one trans Congress member, Delaware's Sarah McBride, who was elected weeks earlier but hadn't yet taken office. Mace went further still, introducing legislation that would ban trans people from using bathrooms matching their gender identity from all federal buildings, including schools that receive federal funding.
This was all under the auspices of keeping women and girls safe from trans women.
Completely having a normal one, Mace went further during this period, shooting that sweet, sweet attention directly into her veins by using a slur in reference to trans people in Congress, in meetings, wherever. Here's a clip of her using an anti-trans slur with an attendee of a talk she gave at the University of South Carolina.
So I would like for you to apologize because that is derogatory and second of all.
Is trans derogatory to you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course the
tranny. Yeah, tranny.
That's
she's disgusting.
Like, it's so...
Grow the fuck up. Like she is so ill.
All right, Alyssa, riddle me this.
Ugh.
If trans women are so threatening that their mere presence in a woman's restroom puts the safety of women and girls at risk, they're just mm-hmm. them being in that room, then it's probably not a great idea to yell a slur about them into a microphone over and over, right?
Think so.
Or are trans women only magically dangerous when they're in a women's restroom?
If trans women were actually a threat to women like Nancy Mace, Nancy Mace would have already gotten her ass beat like several times over. Congratulations, Nancy. You got attention.
All of Nancy's right-wing buzzword-peppered apoplectics about what room penises are and aren't allowed to enter is starting to lose its effect, though. Lately, she's been beta-testing a new genre of tiresome outrage baiting, hating immigrants. On a TV appearance, she claimed that she liked watching immigrants being arrested in court.
One of my favorite things to watch on YouTube these days are the court hearings where illegals are in court and ICE shows up to drag them out of court and deport them. I can think of nothing more American today than keeping our streets safer by getting those violent criminals out of the United States of America, and we all have Donald J. Trump to thank for it.
I mean, that's a ghoulish thing to say, but how obviously she's attempting to go viral here is just tedious. She also went for a ride along with ICE and was briefly called Ice Barbie before she was eclipsed by real Ice Barbie, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
That must really chap Nancy's ass. On one of her crusades for virality, Nancy claimed that Charleston County was unleashing a veritable flood of undocumented migrants who were also criminals onto the streets, and that Charleston County Sheriff Kristen Graziano was to blame. Here's Graziano fact-checking Mace.
Nancy Mace is full of
Yes, correct. She is.
Fair. Graziano, by the way, was the first openly gay sheriff to serve Charleston County. When she got elected, she unseated a male sheriff who had held the office since 1988 and had advocated for more, like, human rights-forward approaches to policing.
Wow, putting on my thinking cap about why Nancy Mace would want to try to put her thumb on the scale in this re-election campaign.
Representative Mace seems to be missing the part of her brain that understands when she's the one who looks stupid. She's the I'm not owned as I slowly shrink into the size of a corn cob tweet in action.
The chairperson of the Congressional Corn Cobbers Caucus, for sure. There's a great example from earlier in 2025. In the video, a resident of South Carolina's 1st District named Eli Murray Quick approaches Mace in an Ulta store and asks her when she's going to hold some public town halls. Nancy Mace goes ripshit, ending the encounter by telling him to fuck off. Here, let's watch.
You're going
to
host a real town hall for the people.
Did you miss the 15 I had last
that
year?
That wasn't a town. When are you going to host one this year?
I've already had one, and we'll have a dozen more.
The town hall you hosted this year was not a town hall.
It was a town hall, and I do them every year.
Every year.
You want to keep going?
Are you going to do any more this year?
Keep going.
Are you
going
to do it? I'm asking if you're going to have any more town halls this year. Any more that you're going to this year or not?
Crazy.
So I'm on the
absolutely
left.
Crazy.
I'm absolutely
crazy. Get out of my face.
You're insane.
Bye.
You're insane. You're gonna Me, you're gonna be voted out so fast this year. I can't wait for you to go into the dirt.
I won by so much.
You're a disgrace to the state. That's what you are.
What's happening at the bottom of her jeans?
2004 is happening.
Yes, it is indeed.
Going full Karen is not the same thing as being brave, because when it comes to hearing and addressing the needs of her constituents, Nancy Mace is kind of chicken shit. In early 2025, a group of Mace's constituents formed the Low County Accountability Project. The project included South Carolinians who were bummed that their elected representative was spending her time chasing cheap headlines and tweeting rather than actually serving the people. The project organized a town hall themselves and invited Mace.
But Mace RSVP'd no to the March event, writing, "I will not be attending. We're staying away because it's not safe, and we refuse to be bullied by individuals who are threatening me, my employees, my constituents, and my family."
Maybe stop yelling slurs. According to a local South Carolina NBC affiliate, the event was to be held in the Mount Pleasant Town Hall complex, which requires people to pass through metal detectors in order to enter. In addition, police officers were there.
Chicken shit. Even though Mace didn't show up, 200 of her constituents did and aired their complaints about their representative's seeming preoccupation with her own level of fame over the needs of the people who elected her. Mace responded by releasing a hilariously filtered video slamming her own constituents, calling them deranged town hall fakers who were nasty, ugly, and hateful.
God.
What on earth?
Are you roasting the people who are trying to vote for you? And it's not even like a good roast, but whatever.
Mace's office claimed that the congressperson would be attending, quote, legitimate in-person town halls, but spent the next several months not doing that.
On April 8th, she held a telephone town hall without letting anybody know that it was going to happen or advertising it anywhere. Under public pressure, she finally held an in-person town hall on April 23rd, but she held it in a gated community called Data Island that the public literally could not access. A Change.org petition urging Mace to make herself more available characterized the event as a fundraiser.
Ah, Mace finally held what she promised would be the, quote, mother of all town halls in August. And this time, Mace actually showed up, claiming she'd take questions from anyone and go into the lion's den to support President Trump. But according to NBC News, political opponents were asked to leave.
So brave.
After that town hall, a reporter asked Nancy Mace about why she took credit for projects funded by President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act when she had voted against the legislation. Nancy Mace accused the reporter of being a raging Democrat and a leftist.
One of the accomplishments, you know, things you were touting was the I-526 interchange. That funding came from the Inflation Reduction Act, which you voted against.
Right.
Is that an accomplishment then? Is that something you can tout?
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely I can tout that. It's literally our job to make sure that our states get the appropriations that they need when the money is assigned.
But even when
you
vote against
it? And grant funding.
Anybody, even when they vote against it?
I vote against almost every spending bill I've ever had before me because of the wasteful spending. That's literally part of the job of being a member of Congress. So maybe you're confused.
Okay.
You're very confused. And you're a raging Democrat, so raging leftist with that kind of questioning. The first female president of this country is going to be a conservative woman, not some liberal like you.
One bill that she actually did vote for, however, was Trump's future-crushing Big Beautiful Bill, which Nancy obnoxiously showed up to vote for in pajamas for some reason. She reminds me so much of Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock.
Oh, everything that I read from her, like in a public statement, I read in Jane Krakowski's voice. You know, I've noticed that when Nancy Mace is losing an argument or on the cusp of being called out for her lies, she falls back on either accusing the other person of being an evil Democrat or appeals to one of her cherished victim statuses, like as a woman, as a mother, and in a way that makes me feel kind of gross, sexual assault survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Like during a 2024 appearance opposite George Stephanopoulos, the host pressed her on her vociferous support of Trump, despite the fact that he had such a long rap sheet of sexual assault allegations, including a civil lawsuit wherein he was declared to have raped writer E. Jean Carroll. Stephanopoulos asked how she squared her own life experiences with her support for a sex monster, and Mace said, quote, "I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that." She went on, "I find it offensive that as a rape victim, you're trying to shame me for my political choices." So just to be clear, she's the one. She's the one who chose to make being a survivor of rape part of the story that she tells publicly about herself, a mm-hmm. story that has won her a lot of attention. And so I'm not sure how asking someone to square that with slobbering all over an adjudicated rapist politician constitutes shaming. Like, that's such a desperate reach, no?
Congratulations, Nancy. You got attention. Speaking of desperate, a Wired article from 2025 claimed that Nancy Mace fancies herself a bit of a self-taught coder, bragging to her staff on a near daily basis that she's a computer whiz. One way that her tech savviness was put to use was, according to the article, creating burner accounts and little bot armies to promote and spread pro-Nancy Mace material on the internet. Staff were also instructed to make extra burner accounts for themselves and defend Mace online. So if you see a lot of mean comments under this video, nice try, Nancy.
Nice try, Nancy. Unsurprisingly, staffers who spoke to Wired say that, like a lot of other things Nancy Mace claims to be, this is a bit of an exaggeration. She were actually that good at creating bot armies to fluff her online profile, she'd have more of a following, right? Like, as of now, her social media following is only a fraction of bigger stars like AOC, Jasmine Crockett, and Ilhan Omar, which explains why she's constantly picking fights with them.
We cannot emphasize enough how horny Nancy Mace is to have her profile raised by getting people who are more popular than she is to engage with her.
She even has a longstanding feud with one of her fellow insane Republicans, the Georgia Hulk Hogan herself, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Greene once called Mace trash on Twitter, and Mace, in response, called Greene batshit crazy.
Somebody give one of them a folding chair. I'm bored. In particular, Mace seems to seek out opportunities to fight with Representative Jasmine Crockett, as evidenced in this confrontation that, according to a podcast interview she did later, Nancy Mace thinks she won.
But I can see that somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen, I want y'all
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not,
not
call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out
I am a grown
which
woman.
Of those emails
I have
actually
broken
have
glass ceilings.
And you have I am reclaiming
Let's
my
go.
Time.
You will not do that. I am not a child.
I am reclaiming my time.
Nancy, just as a general rule, in an argument, whoever ends up yelling, I'm not a child, over and over again is the loser.
Here's Nancy Mace thinking she really did something by telling a CNN panel that she can pronounce Kamala Harris's name any way that she wants.
Talk about rerun, Kamala's.
You had it right. You almost got it.
I will say Kamala's name any way that I want to.
No.
But Kamala,
but you mispronounced her.
Okay, Nazi.
Did you just call her a Nazi?
No, I just pronounced her name how I want to pronounce it, N-A-N-C-Y, Nancy. Now, let's talk about Nancy Mace's messiest year yet. In February 2025, Representative Mace took to the floor of Congress and in a 50-minute-long speech accused her ex-fiancé and three of his friends and associates of rape and sex trafficking. She displayed what she said was a nude photo of herself taken without her knowledge during that speech. So now, in addition to Hunter Biden's penis, thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace's nude silhouette is part of the congressional record. So let's take a listen to some of what she said in a floor speech that several media outlets characterized as wild.
Today, I'm going to free myself from the monster who broke me. These predators are not invincible. One of the first videos I saw was of a woman. She was incapacitated and she was being raped. I saw another video of another woman. She was slender and she had long brown hair. I zoomed in on the video. And that woman was me. This monster stole my body. On my last night with Patrick Bryant, he physically assaulted me. Imagine how many victims there truly are of this cobble of rapists, this cobble of sex traffickers, this cobble of peeping Toms.
Whew! Mace also accused Alan Wilson, the Attorney General of South Carolina, of brushing her aside when she went to authorities with proof implicating the men in some pretty horrifying crimes.
So here's the thing about those accusations, though. She has not publicly produced any evidence of what she's accusing the men of actually happened. She claims that she has evidence and metadata. She's accessed her ex's phone legally, but she hasn't shared any of that evidence publicly either. And South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson, who I probably would not like as a person, and I can't believe I'm standing up for him, but Wilson says that he had never even heard of this case before he was called about the speech by reporters. And all the men she's accused of these things say that they are not true. Tellingly, only fellow Republicans Anna Paulina Luna and Lauren Boebert backed Mace up when she gave her speech. No other members of Congress, zero, have publicly supported Mace.
Can you just accuse a bunch of people of rape without evidence and get away with it?
Well, it's complicated. You kind of can if you're a congressperson. See, according to the speech and debate clause of the Constitution and some legal precedent, what legislators say on the floor of Congress in the course of their legislative duties is legally shielded from claims of slander and libel.
So it could be that Nancy was using the speech and debate clause as a get out of slander free card.
Oh, yeah. It's a Scooby-Doo villain level scheme, if that's the case. But
Zoinks.
But that's what a lawsuit filed in March by Brian Musgrave, one of the men she implicated, claims. The lawsuit argues that Mace's speech isn't covered by the speech and debate clause because it wasn't in the official context of her official duties. And somebody sent a copy of it to reporters in advance of its delivery. And during the speech, she made a poster with the word predators on it and the men's names and faces on it. Then she took a picture of herself alongside the predators poster, and then she tweeted a picture.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, the suit also alleges that Mace was working in tandem with five Jane and John Does, who were co-conspirators who aided and abetted Mace. Mace has filed a lawsuit of her own against another man she accused of sex crimes during that speech for calling her a liar. Forget National Nancy, let's call her Messy Mace.
Yeah, like, we're not here to make a judgment on the veracity of Mace's claims. There is an investigation into them by law enforcement in South Carolina, although nobody has been charged, and it's been almost a year since the investigation started. But let's just, for a second, assume that what Mace said during her speech was true. Would it actually help victims of a rape ring to have a member of Congress make a speech like that while an investigation was ongoing? Wouldn't that kind of mess things up for investigators?
Right. Also, like, how does Nancy Mace getting publicity for herself play into this? And here's where it gets even stranger.
Woo!
During the discovery process, a South Carolina political operative named Wesley Donahue was subpoenaed and deposed under oath, which means that he did not want to be there and that he could get in trouble, real trouble, if what he said was a lie.
The deposition is wild. Like, if what Donahue says is true, then Nancy Mace is a New York Magazine profile-level scammer. If what he says is false, then Donahue is a cut-level scammer. Either way, someone's telling some pretty big lies.
Yeah, the deposition reads like if Tupac's Hit 'Em Up were delivered reluctantly. In it, Donahue, a longtime friend of both Mace and her then-fiancé Patrick Bryant, who was one of the four men she accused of sex crimes, says that Mace approached him in November 2023 with a few still photos that she said she'd taken after breaking into Patrick's phone. The photos were still shots of Mace in silhouette, a woman sleeping under a blanket, and an upskirt photo of a woman wearing a bikini cover-up.
Wait, not videos?
No, and Donahue says that Nancy showed him the photos and seemed convinced that they were evidence that Patrick was guilty of photographing women without their consent, and that she was going to use them as leverage to gain 100% control of the property that they'd purchased together.
Oh, no mention of rape. Just taking photos of women that Mace believed were taken without their consent. Not that that's a good thing, but that's a far cry from rape.
Yeah, and Donahue told the attorneys that Mace had asked him to serve as a go-between, telling Patrick that if he didn't give Nancy the properties they'd bought together, she was going to go public with the evidence. Donahue says that he refused to help her blackmail Patrick. Then there's this part, which we'll present to you as a dramatic reading. Alyssa, I'll play the lawyer. You play Wes Donahue, okay?
I'm practiced and
okay,
ready.
Okay, doing my lawyer voice.
Me too.
Doing my lawyer voice. Did you have experiences with Nancy? I want to be careful with how I'm going to ask you this question because I want to give you the leeway to answer it as you see fit, right? But did you ever have experiences with Nancy where she would tell you things that the facts and records you were experiencing did not support? I see your face. Let me scratch that and ask something else.
Nancy's a chronic liar.
That's what I was going to ask. Did Nancy make up facts?
All the time. Her car was keyed, her tires were slashed, someone vandalizing her house. She likes to take kernels of truth and embellish them.
Would she acknowledge that she would take kernels of truth and embellish them? Like, was she aware that she was doing it? Or do you think it was more of a compulsive liar type thing where she doesn't know she's doing it?
Look, I can't say for truth. I can only tell you what I believe. And I believe that Nancy Mace has a hard time telling what's reality and what's not. I believe that Nancy Mace is a chronic liar who constantly plays the victim card for her own benefit. And I would catch her in lies all the time.
And if you caught her in lies, would you confront her about those lies?
No, because she sees black helicopters everywhere. Everyone's out to get her. She's always the victim of something. I've never met a human being that was always such a victim.
Okay, good dramatic reading. Let's end it here for now and zero in on a few details from this deposition, okay? Donahue mentions multiple times that she lied about things like having her house vandalized and her car keyed, which are two things that Nancy Mace made the news for in the past. And after Mace posted photos of her vandalism to Twitter, some people pointed out that the A's in the vandalism looked a lot like Nancy Mace's handwriting.
Yikes.
And that the vandalism was all done in parts of the house and sidewalk that could be easily power washed. To this day, there have been no arrests in the mysterious case of who vandalized Nancy Mace's house.
How does this woman not have cameras? Mace also claimed back when she was a candidate for Congress in 2020 that someone had carved "fuck you" into her car door. It made the local news. That case also remains unsolved. And the incident Donahue could be referring to when he references somebody hurting her could be the encounter Mace had with foster youth activist James McIntyre in December 2024 after a house reception celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Foster Care Independence Act of 1999. Eyewitnesses say that McIntyre shook Mace's hand and said that trans youth deserve advocacy. According to a report published by the website Them, Mace then left, but a staffer later returned and asked McIntyre what he'd said to Mace. Later still, McIntyre got arrested.
Meanwhile, Nancy Mace was posting, claiming that a pro-trans man hurt her arm so badly that she needed to wear a wrist brace. She claimed that she was physically accosted and that trans violence and threats on my life will only make me double down, F-A-F-O. Mace even went so far as to claim that her deadly handshake situation was an example of what the left does to women.
Then she tried to fundraise off the incident, saying that she needed money to fight trans mob threats. Another fundraising text claimed that a pro-trans man chose violence and threats, costing me an injured wrist. The mob is coming for me, she added.
McIntyre was taken into custody by police, but charges against him were dropped because there was no assault. It seems that Nancy just made it up.
Her fucking craziness aside, I'd wear a hat that said trans mob.
Congratulations, Nancy. You got attention. But Alyssa, here's the kicker. The next day, she shows up to work wearing an arm sling.
Wearing an arm brace to work the next day is some Lifetime movie Act 3 shit.
But back to the deposition. Donahue tells the attorney that he fears retribution from Mace because she's been psychotically vindictive in the past. He says that during the 2024 campaign, she dug up some dirt on the son of a political opponent and leaked it to the press, and then asked Donahue to somehow utilize the press report in her campaign.
She is so trite and exhausting. So this whole Mace mess gets even stickier when she announced in August that she's running for governor of South Carolina. One of her main opponents, Alan Wilson, the Attorney General of South Carolina, who she's been trashing with dubious claims about his efficacy left and right.
Oh, by the way, clout demon Nancy Mace is trying to have her name in the Musgraves lawsuit replaced with the words "the United States," which means that she's claiming that all of this was in the context of her congressional duties.
And not just a retribution campaign against an ex after an acrimonious breakup that started when she broke into his phone and found a dating app on there.
It also means she thinks she shouldn't have to pay for her own legal representation. The taxpayers should.
Despite the fact that it seems like Mace could be in very big trouble when all the dust settles here, she's been on a bit of a publicity tour. Could anything stop a Nancy Mace publicity tour? Making stops on conservative podcasts like PDB Podcast, where she played all the hits. She claimed that Brian Musgrave's lawsuit involved a phony deposition from Wes Donahue. Somehow it is a conspiracy against her yet again. And that South Carolina AG Alan Wilson was a Nepo baby because his father had been in Congress.
It's pretty rich coming from somebody who got famous for graduating from a program her daddy was in charge of. Okay, then she just kind of casually threw this out there.
I need the feds to come in and take over our state.
Erin, she is just disturbingly insane.
Let's not lose sight of Nancy's biggest prize, the man who is the direct path between her and godlike amounts of attention, Donald Trump.
Their relationship is a bit, how should we say, arm's length. That's because I believe that Donald Trump can smell the crazy on Nancy Mace, just like a lot of people who have crossed paths with Nancy Mace.
Although Mace had been a diehard Trumper since 2016, she fucked that all up when she said all those mean things about the January 6th insurrectionists. Now, we know Trump loves each and every January 6th insurrectionist more than he loves all but one of his children.
Ivanka.
Of course.
Okay. Nancy tried to imply that she and Trump were cool again by shooting this weird ex-girlfriend-coded video in front of Trump Tower.
Hey, everyone. Congresswoman Nancy Mace here. I'm in front of Trump Tower today. And I remember in 2015 when President Trump announced his run. I was one of his earliest supporters.
It's me, Nancy Mace, standing across the street from a guy who's mad at me.
Erin, I thought that was going to be a comedy, little comedy video, and she was just going to get run over by a city bike.
This and her post-January 6th condemnation media tour led to Trump supporting Mace's primary opponent in 2022. And he started calling her all kinds of names in a drag that we have to respect.
In the first congressional district, you have another horrendous rhino known as Crazy Nancy Mace. 2 years ago, she begged for my endorsement, and I pledged, and she pledged, to be America first all the way. She's going to be, I'm going to be America first. Instead, the first thing Nancy Mace did when she got to Washington was start attacking Republicans and hold a fundraiser for wacky Liz Cheney. Right after hearing I was going to endorse a really wonderful person, a different candidate, she went to New York and stood in front of the magnificent Trump Tower. Has anyone ever heard of Trump Tower? And did a commercial insinuating that I was endorsing her. She's standing over in front of Trump Tower in New York. I'm saying, can you believe this? It was untruthful, just like everything else she does.
He's got her clocked. He knows. You know what I mean? Like, he's figured it out.
Look, when he's right, he's right.
Eventually, the two established a sort of uneasy peace. Trump endorsed her via social media in 2024 after all that smoke he had for her in 2022. And Nancy dutifully yelled slurs and clapped gleefully like a trained seal along with Trump's fascism. This is the only video I can find where Trump and Mace physically appear together. Note that he doesn't get close to her or even let her have access to a microphone. Pretty pathetic stuff.
Nancy Mace. Where's Nancy? Here's something. Oh, are you a believer in what we're doing, Nancy? Nancy takes it on right from the start, right? Would you like to say something? Would you like to say we're doing the right thing? Good. Good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nancy.
Nancy Mace posted this to her official YouTube page, by the way.
Oh,
I know. And despite how reluctant Trump seems to be in the same room at the same time as Nancy Mace, she's calling herself Donald Trump in high heels, and Trump's voice narrates one of her campaign ads. But Nancy should probably check herself because she recently voted in committee to have the Jeffrey Epstein files released with victims' names redacted. And that's not a move that will make Daddy Trump happy if he's in there as much as people are saying.
Careful, Nancy. In summation, your topper was correct. She is the most chaotic. She beats Marge. She beats Boebert. She beats them all. There is no one more chaotic and potentially more dangerous than Nancy Mace.
Right. Dangerous in the same way that, like, a gun in a blender is dangerous. So Mace is from a small state, and so I think the extent of her batshittery has flown under the radar. Like, despite her best efforts to become national Nancy, she's not really famous enough to be within the range of most people's bullshit detectors. But as our producer Caroline observed, she'd make a great Real Housewife.
Absolutely.
Vicky Gunnlaugsson, to be exact.
I'm being nailed to the cross like Jesus was, and he did nothing wrong. He's Jesus Christ, and he did nothing wrong. He was nailed to the cross. That's how I feel.
All right.
Okay.
How do you rate Nancy Mace on our matrix of fucking guys?
Aaron, I think we have to do scheming sociopath and opportunist. Does that feel right?
I am of two minds. Because she is 100% a reckless dumbass.
Total reckless dumbass.
Just a reckless dumbass. Like, she thinks she's scheming.
Maybe it's the pursuit of scheming, not an actual schemer.
But she is also, like, an opportunist. Have you ever read about that experiment with the rats and cocaine where they put the rats in a cage and, like, they get two buttons and they can only push one?
Yeah.
One of them gives them food and one of them gives them cocaine.
Yeah. And they
just keep pushing the cocaine button until they die. I feel like that's Nancy Mace, but, like, with attention.
Oh, that is the perfect – perfect visual and perfect analogy.
Just a cocaine rat in South Carolina. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of This Fucking Guy.
And if you like what you just saw, please hit like and subscribe and share with your friends. If you have a suggestion for a fucking guy we should cover, leave it in the comments.
Oh, and one more thing, announcement time. Starting up now, we'll be bringing you new episodes of TFG twice a month. That's two times as many fucking guys.
At this rate, we'll never run out.
All right, take care and be well. If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hysteria Podcast, or search up This Fucking Guy on YouTube or Spotify now.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.